Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're trying to project right now who will be there. So I would just say that third round cloud, for example, is just bigger than it is in previous years. There's this bigger pool of players that we're talking about. Hey, and there's certain players where we could say, God, man, if this guy, we value him so high, if he's falling to this point, we'll consider going up for him. Or, hey, there's enough good guys, we're going to stay right here. Or if they're all coming off, hey, maybe we back up.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the voice of Ryan Pace, and we are delighted to welcome in Greg Gabriel. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Morning, Greg.
I'm wonderful. And how are you guys doing today? 36 hours out from the draft. This is an exciting time for guys in the personnel business.
Yeah, the clouds are getting bigger.
Unless you work in Oakland.
Well, that's true. Unless you work for Oakland. I'll tell you what, though. I talked to two people yesterday, and they swear that they don't believe the Cardinals are going to take Murray with the first pick. They just said there's a division there. The coach wants Murray. The front office or the personnel department wants to take a defensive player. So we're going to see how that plays out. I think in the end it's going to be Murray, but and that doesn't necessarily mean that Kingsbury wins out. But that there is division at this time, and we're only 36 hours away from the draft.
Yeah, I mean, Quinnen Williams to me is the best player in the draft, and if I were the picking number one, that would be who I would choose. But I'm not the Cardinals, and I wouldn't have hired Cliff Kingsbury to be my head coach, and they did, and they installed his system, and they're going to run it. So if you're going to do all of that, Greg, I think it's a bigger gamble not to take Kyler Murray than it would be to take him.
Yeah, but I agree with you, David. But at the same time, and you already traded up last year to take a quarterback, and you're saying no to that guy before he even gets an opportunity to play when you've got a lot invested in him. You know, same time, from the football 101 way of looking at things, that's bad football. That's bad management. But anything can happen. Maybe that's why the Cardinals are the Cardinals, and
right,
they're picking first in the draft. But kids ordinarily just don't make decisions like that. And if Cliff Kingsbury wasn't the head coach, we're not even having this conversation, because Kyler Murray is not going to be the first pick in the draft. So it's because that's the coach, and the coach has had an affinity for this guy, going back to when he was in high school. But still, it really gets down to who has control of the 53, and if it's Steve Kime, the general manager, and he wants to go with a defensive player, that's what it could be. We'll find out tomorrow night.
Here's the disconnect for me. If you have a quarterback that you've drafted in the first round and you want to get a guy to develop him, you hire Cliff Kingsbury because you think his offense will fit and he will work, and then he comes in and he says, oh, I need Kyler Murray. Now you got to get rid of the guy. You'll never get the value for the guy you drafted. I don't understand. Why hire him if he has to have Kyler Murray? Why hire him?
Mully, I agree with you. And I've been saying that argument for months now. I'm saying the part of the interview process is we already spent, a third to fifth round pick they gave up to move up to draft him last year. Say, hey, this is our quarterback. We already made that decision. You work with them. And if you can't work with them, we're going to go in another direction. I agree with you. So, and again, we'll go back to that's why the Cardinals are the Cardinals.
Right.
If they're thinking they have to change the quarterback, because, yeah, they're not going to get much for them if they try to trade them. And everybody knows that if they, in fact, draft Murray, that you know, his value on the trade market goes way down. He might be lucky to get a third round pick for him. So I don't know what's going to happen. One thing that's interesting, though, is yesterday, you know, they started their mini camp very similar to what the Bears did when Nagy came in. They had that original voluntary mini camp the same week as the draft, and you at least got to see the players and make some final decisions about what direction you wanted to go in the draft. Well, reportedly, Rosen looked pretty good, at least in the first practice yesterday, and even Kingsbury admitted to that. But then at the same time, in the same presser, when he was talking about Rosen, then a reporter brought up Murray, and his eyes just opened up, and he had this glow on his face like a, you know, a kid opening presents on Christmas Day. So, you know, I just started laughing when I was watching, and I go, well, he can't give, you know, keep a secret. But then it was after I saw that I had the conversation with a general manager that said, first thing he said to me, because I had left a message with this guy to give me a call. He called me back. He didn't even say hello. He says, you know, they're not taking Murray, don't you?
You know, Greg, looking at the Bears, when you look at the fact that they worked out more running backs than any other positional prospects, does that tell you anything? And how do you look at it from their perspective, picking 87th?
Well, it's important in that, you know, that's they want to get one. But, you know, I've been listening to you guys, and then I've been in this position before where you don't have a first or a second round pick. Nobody knows how it's going to fall. You know, you can be sitting at 15 in the first round and say, I think these guys are going to be here. Well, when you're sitting at 87, you really don't have any idea. As part of your preparation, you're going to have a list of players, maybe five or six names, that you're going to say, I have a good feeling that these guys could be there when we pick. And some of them, maybe four out of those six will be there. But at the same time, there's going to be somebody that you had no idea about that's going to fall. Maybe there's going to be two. And you're going to start to see that around the end of the second round. You're going to say, wow, a couple of guys here, we didn't have any idea they were going to be there. We got real good grades on these guys. This guy's fallen. We got to start talking about this guy because he wasn't part of the conversation earlier in the week. So all that enters into it. And the important thing is that you know enough about the player that's falling so that you don't make a bad decision, because maybe there's a hidden reason as to why he is falling.
Who is the best kicker in the draft, Greg, and when will he be taken, or are there kickers worthy of being taken?
Well, good question, Mike. And I've talked to some people around the league that's all they do is study the kickers. And the common thinking is that there's maximum three place kickers that can be selected in the draft. Cole Tracy from LSU, Austin Siebert from Oklahoma, Matt Guy from Utah. Nobody says they take them before the sixth round. So it's guys you take in the sixth or seventh, and, you know, maybe two are sure to be drafted and one's a maybe to get drafted. I don't think anybody's totally in love with any of them. You know, there's not a sure shot type guy. There's no college kicker that's ever a sure shot guy coming into the league. Big difference is just the ball they kick, you know, and then the pressure of kicking in the NFL. Now you look at the kid from LSU who is generally regarded as the best kicker in the draft. I mean, he kicked at the Division II level up until last year when he went to LSU. And, yeah, he had a good year, but – you know, it's not like you were seeing him kicking 55, 60-yard field goals. He was kicking a lot of shorter field goals, and he was accurate with those. I look at the rise. He doesn't kick a real high ball. You know, and again, it's a totally different ball that they kick in college. It's a little easier to kick. It travels a little further. You know, it's going to be – the onus is going to be on the special teams coach as to – what he really thinks of these guys, and if they go in that direction with one of their seventh-round picks, they don't have a sixth.
Greg, could four quarterbacks go in the first 15 picks, and could a fifth quarterback, Will Greer, slide into the first round if the Patriots fall in love with him?
You know, I tweeted out yesterday, I'm sticking with my prediction that four going in the top 15, maybe top 16. I was told yesterday that Washington's trying to move up into the upper part of the first round to get a quarterback. I think the Giants are going to take a quarterback, or at least try to take a quarterback. Murray may go number one, so now there's that would be three right there in the top six if the Giants took one at six and Washington got into the top five. So, yeah, I think because of what we've seen the last two drafts, quarterbacks have gone high. 2 years ago, three went in the top 12. All three quarterbacks teams traded up to draft last year except for Baker Mayfield. The other ones that went in the first round, each time the team traded up to get them. I just think that's what happens. When you don't have one, you find a way to go get them, and you're aggressive to go get the quarterback.
Greg, the general rule, next year's second-round pick is worth a third this year. Is that accurate?
Next year's second worth if you were trying to get in the second round this year,
you'd have to give up a one.
Yes, you got to give up because you're paying so later. You're paying later. It's a discount. It becomes a discount, right? Because it's confusing when I'm thinking of about it fast. But you got to You know, last year when the Bears made that trade with New England, that was a huge win for the Bears. Because, you know, they gave up a second to get into the second. And ordinarily, you got to go a round ahead when you're giving up a pick a year out.
So if the Bears wanted to, let's just say there was an Iowa State running back, just an example, and the Bears wanted to move up into the second round, they'd have to give up a pick this year, maybe their own third, and a second next year, which is effectively two-thirds.
Yeah. Something like that, and I personally, Mike, I don't think they're going to do that.
Yeah.
I think they got to reserve the draft capital that they have, and part of it is, you know, no one and no three next year. So if you want players, you got to keep those two twos. But a lot of it has to do with the money. Also, there's, you know, more guys are coming up for contract extensions. They're going to get paid. You got to have those rookie contracts to balance off the payroll.
Especially for a running back, a guy who you might be able to get in the third round, a position
fifth
that's
round.
Pretty deep in,
you did
the,
well
in the draft.
In the fifth round.
So I wouldn't overpay to move up in the second round for a running back. I agree with you, Greg.
No, history says you can get good running backs third, fourth, fifth, even sixth round. And you know, look at the kid last year out of Colorado State that played for Denver. Undrafted free agent. He was one that goes to the Pro Bowl. I mean, you know, that happens with running backs. And I think there's the strength of the running back class is in the middle rounds this year. It might only be one go in the first round, and don't be shocked if none go in the first round.
Greg, we'll let you go. Would you give up a fifth for the right to give Robbie Gould a long-term deal?
No.
Yeah.
And I love Robbie. I just, when you look at the money, they're already paying Parkey for two more years because that was a guaranteed contract, and it's going to cost you. I mean, he's walking away from the franchise tag. That's, I think, $5 million. So that's the starting point to get a long-term deal done with him, unless he gave the Bears a discount so he could be home. But, you know, the agent, Brian Mackler, is not going to want to do that. He's going to want to get as much money as he can. So I just don't see it happening.
Thank you, Greg.
Thanks,
we appreciate
Greg.
It.
Okay, talk to you soon, guys. Thanks.
That is Greg Gabriel.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.